The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. Today, we are going to do AFC South training camp burning questions. That means we'll talk about the Colts, Titans, Jaguars, and Texans in the feed and coming up. Many more burning questions. By the way, here's a burning question for you. Will I have to get a tattoo if the Pick Six Podcast wins a People's Choice Award? Well, if we do win, I will get one, but will I have to get one? We are nominated in the sports category, the People's Choice Podcast Awards, and we appreciate all you guys do for us. And we hope you enjoy our show enough to nominate us to advance to the next round. To do so, go to podcastawards.com/app/signup and then toggle down to the sports category. There's a link in the episode description as well. You have to sign up, you have to log in, but you can do that and you can advance to the section. You have to drop down sports, Pick Six Podcast. Boom. And we're good to go. Joining us to break down the AFC South, friend of the show, Jeff Kerr. What's up, buddy? How you doing?
Pretty good, Will. You know, it's 1 week till football season. Well, I guess technically it starts this week, right? We got three teams going into training camp?
Yeah, we have teams going into training camp. It's back. We back.
We're back.
Another year. I'm excited. I am excited. I'm always excited with football here. We got through it. So let's look into them. I don't actually have these on the rundown. I'll make them up as we go along. The easy one, we'll start with the Colts. Well, all right, well, actually, you tell me, what's your burning question for the Colts, and why does it involve Carson Wentz, Eagles fan Jeff Kerr?
I mean, it's good anyway. It's pretty self-explanatory what Carson Wentz is with the Colts. Can Frank Reich fix him? That's what I want to know. Yeah. Can he fix his quarterback? Is it Carson Wentz? Is his mind completely messed up? He's not good anymore? Is Carson Wentz not the guy that we thought he was, or can he be the guy we thought he was? There's a lot of questions with this quarterback right now, and I have my thoughts on him. I do think he's going to do well in Indianapolis, but I'm not going to be one of those guys who will go on Twitter and say, "Oh, I told you so," if he stinks.
Ooh, you won't be? I will not be. It's too easy to say I will be. It's too easy to say that he's just going to go to Indianapolis and everything's going to go back to normal. Like, I have a hard time I believe in Frank Reich. I think Frank Reich's an awesome coach. I think he's fantastic. But I just don't know if he can just magically flip a switch and all of a sudden it's 2017 again. Like, that sounds great in theory for a lot of people. Who wouldn't love to just go back to 2017? Well, I mean, I guess there's maybe a lot of people, I don't know. You're like, just rewind, no pandemic. Let's go back in time to 2017 where Carson Wentz is an MVP candidate. I just don't know if it's that easy.
I that's what I worry about with him. Like, before this injury, I thought Carson Wentz was going to be a top five quarterback in the NFL. He showed a lot of signs of that his rookie year. And 2017, he was just on another planet. I mean, 33 touchdowns, 7 interceptions in 14 games. How could you not be? And then the injury happened, and then, you know, as Eagles fans, including myself, started thinking, here we go again, you know, starting quarterback gets injured in a year where everything seems to be going right for the first half of the year, and then boom, and, you know, we all know what happened, and I don't think Carson Wentz ever mentally or physically recovered from that. I mean, I don't know. To me, I would just look at that Super Bowl ring and say, I played a huge part in that, but I guess him walking in the NovaCare complex every day and seeing Nick Foles holding the Vince Lombardi trophy got to him.
See,
him
that's finally the thing. People said it was crazy, but it makes total sense.
It does. It's, I mean, Brenton, how would you feel if, you know, you took a month off?
If I had to walk in my office every day and there's a freaking statue of John Breach, like, doing a little high school derby, I'd lose my mind. I'd be so angry.
If you saw John Breach holding that People's Choice Award, how would you feel?
Oh, furious. So, yeah, or they're like, John Breach's Pick Six podcast.
Yeah, and then Breach would rub it into your face every day. I mean, not like Foles did that, but we know Breach would.
Right. Breach would actively rub it in my face. Be like, did you happen to polish my statue on the way in? I'd be like, F you, Breach. No, I didn't. No, I mean, look, I think it does. It is a thing. You know, I think that is a thing. And so I do believe going to Indianapolis, where there's less scrutiny, where you have a coach that you've worked with before and been successful with before, will help you. I think that all will help in terms of getting him back. I think they'll run the football a ton. I think they'll try and let him use play action and try to give him easy throws and easy reads and get him back into a good headspace. They're not going to have Carson Wentz coming out and throwing 40 times a game to start the season. But I also think it's just too easy to suggest he's just going to magically be better because Frank Reich's there and they have a good offensive line. There are lots of questions about this Colts team, but the first one, of course, is about Carson Wentz.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. I point this out a lot with, you know, doing Eagles training camp previews. The offensive line wasn't good last year, but we have to keep in mind here, they were playing Nate Herbig, who really never played an NFL game, who actually ended up being pretty good. Jack Driscoll, fourth-round rookie last year, same thing. He actually ended up being a pretty solid offensive tackle for them. And a lot of Wentz's mistakes in the second half were on Wentz. Like the interception in the Cleveland game that was returned for a pick six, that was on Wentz, like, just trying to throw the ball, like, 2 feet over Miles Sanders' head. Like, and that's always been a problem with him. Like, I remember, I think it was the Vikings in 2018. He tried to throw a pass to Wendell Smallwood at the goal line. It was just nowhere to be found. And he's never really had that strength of throwing the running backs. And that's literally what the Colts do. They throw the ball to their running backs. Like, I can see Nyheim Hines getting completely frustrated when this guy, you know, misfires, and he's done that a lot. And I know with Wentz, he's such a competitor, it gets into his head. So I don't know. Like, I hope the guy doesn't put a lot of pressure on himself, and he's saying all the right things, but they're coming off the wrong way. Like, oh, you know, the Midwest is home, and, you know, my wife really wanted to be here and stuff like that. It makes you read between the lines a little bit. Like, okay, maybe this dude really did want out of here.
I think he definitely wanted out of there. I mean, yeah. I do wonder though. You know, you mentioned Nyheim Hines. He had the benefit of catching passes from Philip Rivers, maybe the single greatest backfield swing pass tosser in the history of professional football. And now he has to downgrade to Carson Wentz. So what are you going to do? We will find out though. That's the burning question. We'll know. We'll have some theories to work with by the time we get into training camp about if Frank Reich can in fact fix Carson Wentz. To the Titans, the other top team in the division, how does Julio Jones fit in this offense? That's the clear burning question. How much better does he make him? Does he take them over the top? What do you see his target share, et cetera, et cetera?
So I'm not a hot take type of guy, Will, but I will say this. I think Julio Jones is going to make that impact that Terrell Owens made with the Eagles in 2004. That's how highly I believe in this.
Wow.
I don't think he is falling off the radar. He was sixth in the NFL in receiving yards per game last year. He was hurt, but he was still really good. He's been really good. Like, I don't get this, oh, he's 32. He's done. I'm 32. I'm not done by any stretch of the imagination. I'm in the prime of my career, and I'm not even an NFL player. So, I just don't understand how this narrative came about. And now you're putting him with A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill is basically been a freak since he started for Tennessee in week 7 of that year. Tennessee is the most big plays in the NFL over the last 2 years. They have the most touchdowns in the league. So this offense is already really good. Oh, by the way, Josh Reynolds is on that offense. And I kind of like Austin Ferkser too. I think he's going to be like solid for them.
Anthony Ferkser. Right.
Yeah. I don't know why I said Austin. You know, I'm thinking,
he's
you know
a Ferkser on a depth chart. We'll let that one slide, Kurt, if you call him Austin.
You know what it is? This is my problem. So I was listening to a press conference. I'm a big NASCAR fan. Listening to a press conference beforehand, and Austin Cindric came up. So that's where I get Austin. I'm like, wait a minute. That is not right. It is not Austin. So that's right. Yeah, I'll blame myself on that. but thank you. So anyway, but yeah, this offense is just lightning fast. You know, I love the fact that Julio Jones is a deep ball threat. AJ Brown, we know he's a home run hitter. And Tannehill throws the ball deep downfield. So I think Julio is going to fit in nicely. But what I brought up in the article was, is he going to be the number one receiver? Is he going to take a back seat and be the number two? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, I think he is. I don't know. I mean, I don't know that he comes in, he's the number one. Like, there's a great rapport between Ryan Tannehill and A.J. Brown. And A.J. Brown is a developing young player. You don't want to lose A.J. Brown's development at the expense of bringing in Julio Jones. What you want is for those two to be just ridiculous, deep threat, rebound receiver guys who you can throw to off of play action. And I think that you have that opportunity. You know, if you can run Derrick Henry, you need the offensive line to play well. Use Tannehill on bootlegs. You have these guys running across the field, catching the ball in space, picking up yak, doing all kinds of stuff. I mean, I think all of that factors into it. I think it's just 1A, 1B. I don't know that either one is necessarily definitely the true number one in this offense. But that's like, will Julio be happy being a 1A or 1B? I mean, he didn't seem to mind it with Calvin Ridley per se.
No, I actually think he liked when Calvin Ridley showed up because then it freed him up a bit. And I think that's how he's going to treat with A.J. Brown. Like, the guy just seems like the ultimate teammate. Like, he didn't even really want anybody to know he wanted out. That's about as unselfish as you can get.
Yeah, that's true. I agree with that. People only found out he needed to get out when Shannon Sharp got him on the phone, and as a result, they had to, you know, like, clean up that mess and get him out of town more quickly. He was trying to sort of pull a Matthew Stafford, in my opinion. So, yeah, I agree. It's Julio and how he fits in, huge, because if it looks like all of a sudden he and AJ Brown, if he has the Terrell Owens effect, this team's a Super Bowl contender. So that is certainly one to watch. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, find out what you need to look at with the Jacksonville Jaguars in training camp.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Pretty obvious. I mean, I'm not even worried when I think about the Jaguars, Jeff. Like, I'm not worried about Trevor Lawrence making it, like, acclimating to the NFL. I think he'll be fine getting there. He's a really good player. He's a good quarterback. He's a smart guy. He's played against high level defenses. You know, he's had his ups and downs throughout his career, just like any college quarterback. But I'm with you. The biggest question is, how does Urban Meyer acclimate? And then I guess there is a trickle down effect with Trevor Lawrence there too.
In a way, it is. Like, I'm like you, Will. I don't worry about Trevor Lawrence at all. I honestly think this guy is going to have a Justin Herbert-type year for that team. I mean, he's got the weapons. He's got Etienne. He's got Robinson. He's got Chanel. He's got DJ Chark. I mean, he's got weapons across the board. I'm not worried about that. But Urban Meyer, like, it's already concerning to me how he's not as hands-on with the players as he likes to be. And, oh, this isn't college. Well, what did you think you were getting into here?
Yeah, I mean, you're not getting into college. It's the opposite of college. He's like, I can't believe how tough it is to get free agents. It's not like recruiting. No, it's not. That's the whole point, Urban. It's not college football. It's professional football.
Yeah, they're all the same. Like, this isn't Ohio State where you can just lavish them with gifts or whatever. You know, oh, look at us. Look what we do every single year. What are you trying to sell with the Jacksonville Jaguars organization? Oh, hey, we might be playing in London in 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, right.
If you're trying to say, hey, look, want to come down and play for me, guy who's never coached at the NFL level for a team that, while living in Florida and, you know, escaping income tax, still has to deal with the fact that they're not very good and haven't been very good outside of one outlier season over the past 15 plus years, really ever since several coaches before me came out, starting with the end of the Jack Del Rio run. I mean, there's just not a lot of appeal to Jacksonville. So Urban has to change the culture. And he's being investigated and asked about, you know, that strength coach they hired from Iowa, which is, you know, the first misstep he makes. And then he said, you know, complaining about free agency. They draft Trevor Lawrence and they draft Travis Etienne. That the Etienne thing to me is the biggest red flag. Is he, did he really draft Travis Etienne to take wide receiver reps, all wide receiver reps? Cause that's crazy.
Yeah. It's, you don't use Travis Etienne for that. You use him to be a feature back. And yeah. It just feels like he wasted a first-round pick when there were decent offensive linemen on the board. You had one of the worst defenses in the league last year. And look, I get the philosophy. If you want to do like a two-back system, that's fine. But you also brought in Carlos Hyde, who's no stiff eater. So I don't understand the logic of it. Are you really going to just allow Travis Etienne to get 100 targets a year?
I don't mind if you give him 100 targets a year, but you better give him 150 carries a year. Like, he needs to be something between Alvin Kamara make him Alvin Kamara. Don't make him Percy Harvin.
And if he was Alvin Kamara, then I'll say great pick. But until then, it's like, wait a minute, you just got James Robinson for nothing. He was one of the best running backs in football last year. So what if he can't catch out of the backfield? He can bruise, you know, between tackles with the best of them. You figure you want to build off that.
I would agree with you completely. So I think those two, the Etienne and the Lawrence picks, there's Urban's first two picks, right? I mean, he goes and gets two, hilariously, the guy from Ohio State who got his ass beat by Clemson multiple times over the past, you know, 5 or 10 years, is going out and getting two of Clemson's best players and adding them to his roster with the Jaguars and saying, this is how I'm going to win. That's fine. You saw him up close, you know him. But those two guys need to acclimate early and often. I think they will. I trust their talent. I trust their skill set. I trust their approach to the game. But if those two guys aren't good, it's going to be on Urban and their offensive players, and it's going to be a quick judgment call about how he's changing and working into the NFL level. All right, the Houston Texans will wrap up the AFC South with them. And, you know, you only took only one quarterback question here, so we can certainly take a second. Who's their quarterback? That's the question.
Who is the quarterback? Is it going to be Deshaun Watson? Is it going to be Tyrod Taylor? Is it going to be whoever's on this roster at this point? Like, I just don't know. This team is such an enigma. I think they're going to be terrible because we just don't know anything about them.
Yeah. I mean, you make this comparison and it sounds, it's not complimentary. Remember the Patriots in 2001? People were like, oh, the Patriots might not be that good. We don't know a lot about them. Like, but so they have this. It's a bunch of no-names on defense, except the Texans did that for their entire roster, but they don't have Bill Belichick as the head coach. And as far as we know, they're not squatting on some future six Super Bowl winning Hall of Fame, GOAT quarterback who is going to step in off the bench from the sixth round and just take over and win a bunch of Super Bowls. So, I mean, maybe they do. Maybe David Mills is that good. I don't think he is. But I think for Houston, the bigger problem is, you know, if Deshaun Watson is cleared, are you going to try to keep Watson in? Do you want to move him? Are you, you know, at this point, if I'm Houston, I'm almost like, let's just trade him and get as much as we can, move on, restart. This roster is not built to win now. Deshaun Watson might help us win 6-8 games. This is not a Super Bowl winning roster with Deshaun Watson. So trade him, collect some assets, and try and restart this thing.
Well, that's why I would trade him. You won 4 games and Deshaun Watson was a top 3 quarterback in football last year. And yeah, you had no running. You had no defense. And then this is with Zach Cunningham, J.J. Watt, and Whitney Merciless, and a bunch of other decent players, and your defense was terrible. Now, if their offense can actually run the football, not turn it over, you might have a shot to win some football games. But at the end of the day, I would trade Deshaun Watson for whatever you can get for him. Like, if the Philadelphia Eagles want to give up their draft capital for Deshaun Watson, have at it. Like, if I'm Houston, I'd be like, you know what?
What's your number for Deshaun Watson? Three first-round picks?
If I'm Houston, I would go 3 first round picks. I think they'll end up having to give 2 though, just because.
That's what I'm saying. Would you be okay giving up 3, or is 2 enough? Is 2 your sort of ceiling?
I honestly think he's a top 5 quarterback in football without all this baggage. But with the baggage, it's, you know, if you're the Eagles, you try to buy him for as low as you can. You know, if Houston stuck at 15 on the blackjack table, you know, do they just keep trying to up the ante here, or what are they going to do?
Right. Yeah, it's a tough call. But I mean, if you can get him for nothing, or if you can get him on a discount, and you believe that the baggage is cleared up off the field, and you think you can completely, you know, if you're the Eagles, or, you know, I mean, the Eagles seem like the team du jour, you feel like you can completely flip around your franchise fortunes, and if you're Howie Roseman, maybe save your job, you know, it's hard to imagine passing on that. So I think there's a pretty good incentive to do it. And those two teams seem like they'll be interested. You know, the Panthers, they traded for Sam Darnold, so maybe they're just out now. But I mean, I still think teams would be interested. Yeah, I mean, I think teams will still be interested in Deshaun Watson if they can get past the off-field stuff. And so that goes into the whole construct of who is the Texans quarterback. Is Watson even going to be eligible to come and get on the field, or, you know, will it be somebody else? And we'll find out all of that in training camp, which is why we're asking you now. Jeff Kerr, great stuff as always, buddy. Follow him at Jeff Kerr CBS on Twitter. Read him on CBSSports.com. Thanks, dude.
Yep, sounds great. Thanks for having me on, Will.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at NewBalance.com.